Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info at LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Timed with your little burp.
I did. It was coming up. I'm like, I turned the microphone on already. Oh no! And I burped.
How was your week?
It's okay. Word? It's all right. It's okay.
Just okay.
It's okay.
Has Colton started kindergarten? No,
Third grade.
Damn.
Starts in 2 weeks. Well, two more weeks of summer.
And then what's he doing to celebrate?
I don't know. I think we're going to Legoland.
Dude. Oh, that's awesome. Like that. That's a classic.
Next week. Yeah. Good stuff.
Very nice. Is he excited about school, or is he kind of like?
Oh, no, man. He's a kid.
Well, when I was in third grade, you know, you have like crushes on girls. You figure out what your classes are. You know, like there is
It's still school. It's still waking up and going to class.
That's the worst. I mean, I don't know who came up with the idea that all kids should get up at 8 in the morning and go to school. But, man, I mean, I'm sure when you went to college, you got to buy, right? You got to choose your classes.
Yeah, sometimes. But some classes you have to take are at 8 a.m. Some are. You just can't get out of it.
Let me tell you this.
Okay. Most of the, if I had my choice, I tried to do 11, 12 o'clock classes, but some classes were 8 a.m. You had no choice.
I had 4 years of 8 a.m. classes.
Ugh.
4 days a week.
Ugh.
The latest I had Monday through Thursday was 9 a.m. And the Friday that you were supposed to have off, we had a vocal performance workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We had to show up at 10 in the morning. So my day off in school, I had to show up still at 10. And you know, in college, you're like out late.
Yeah,
like
especially on a Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like you're doing like pep rallies for games. You're doing all kinds
of... Yeah, but you were at USC at 8 a.m. I was in Blacksburg, Virginia at 8 a.m.
So what does that
mean? It's in a mountain. Well, so 8 a.m., it's about 14 degrees outside.
That's true. That's true.
And you have to walk to class.
Dude, that's brutal.
Awful. And we had this thing, most of the class, all the dorms were on one side. Then they had this big grass field called the drill field. And then on the other side of the drill field was where all the school, like all the classrooms were and stuff. So you had to walk across this 200-yard-long football field, field at 8 a.m. And it was just it was 14 degrees and then maybe like a 30-mile-an-hour wind. So the wind chill was like 1 degrees.
That's brutal. Okay.
It was awful.
I had it much easier than that.
And that was like that from like October to March.
What class did you have at 8 a.m.?
I don't remember.
You know, they always make the worst classes at that hour, too.
It's probably like biology or geology or
mine
something.
Mine was music theory, which sucked, and ear training, which also was better than
training.
Music theory. But, man, like those are like not exciting classes to do at 8 in the morning.
Can you, how do you fail ear training? Like,
oh yeah, you could
fail. I mean, I know, but like, what if you're in like not physically capable of hearing certain tones and
sounds? That's how you fail.
But they say you're not. You could actually get an F for not being physically capable of hearing something.
Yeah, you have to figure
that doesn't
it out.
Seem right.
Well, you have to figure it out. It's like the craziest thing is they would give you like melodic dictation, so they'd play a melody, and you'd have to just write down the notes. You'd have to write down like what you just heard. Rhythmically, so you have to think of three things. You have to think of the rhythm,
mm-hmm.
you have to think the intervals, and then you have to think of the notes. Yeah. And sometimes they'd give you the key and sometimes they wouldn't. And then I had music history at 8 in the morning and they would give us – you'd have to study. I'll never forget. And this is how old – this is how long ago I was in school. They gave us like rows and rows of tapes to listen to Gregorian chant. And then they would start the chant in the middle of the chant and you'd have an essay question that would be like something that I've never –
Why would you go to school for music?
It sounds awful. They have to make it academic somehow, but they do it in the most ridiculous ways.
Awful.
It was awful. For 6 months, I didn't study anything but Gregorian chant, just in music history. And you know what?
It seems like an enormous waste of time.
Oh, it was. It definitely was. Like, the only reason you would want to take that class is if you wanted to be a music historian. But literally, like, the worst part of the whole thing, you studied 6 months of Gregorian chant, right? Then you eventually, by the end of the
year... You could have done, like, a group full of young, energetic youth... Yes. Could have done so much more for the world in 6 months.
I agree.
Than listen to Gregorian chants.
I agree. And you know what?
Anything.
The great composers, like when you get to the Mozarts and the Beethovens.
Could have fed homeless people for 6 months.
Yeah, they could have easily. And they just skip over the good ones. They skip over the good ones, but they make...
Is it more of a weeding out? Like, we're just trying to weed people out of the music program? That's what it is. That's what it's there for.
But it's also like, you know, there was not much of music school that I really responded to other than songwriting and singing. Like... Man, even the instrumental classes that you take, they're pretty boring. I mean, it was just brutal.
Yeah.
I had to take like a choral like conducting class. Like, who, like, why am I taking a choral conducting class? I have no desire to teach choral, you know, music.
Mm.
But not that there's anything wrong with it, because I love singing in choruses. But it just wasn't, and you had to take it. It wasn't like an elective. It was like, you have to take this. You have to take music theory. And the crazy thing is, I had a music theory teacher that he was like on my ass about being late and like sleeping in class.
Most teachers are on people's ass for being late, sleeping in class. That's kind of frowned upon by most teachers.
Dr. Naidu had it out for me.
I mean,
he had it out
for me. Well, if you're falling asleep in class, he's going to have it out
for
you.
But I was definitely not the only one falling asleep in class, but he was definitely out for me. And, like, the crazy thing is, and you know what?
Look, I'm not taking your side on this.
No, listen to this. I'm going to tell you this. So, one of our former guests, who was my ear training teacher, so you think, like, maybe Nikki's making this up.
I don't think you're making it up. I agree.
She comes up to me and she's like, hey, Dr. Naidu has it out for you, and he is grilling you hard, and he wants
Dr. Naidu?
That was his name.
Was he, what nationality was he?
He was South African Indian. So he was one of me. Well, he was one of my people.
He was trying to be hard on you, trying to make you better than everybody else.
Maybe. So she was like, I want you to meet me after class, and I'll tutor you. And so she tutored me for free.
Well, it sounds like if you just stayed awake and come on time, you would have been fine.
Yeah, but it was also like the stuff was so boring. So like literally, she like totally coached me on everything. She was like, your ears are great. You just have to know these theories. So like she taught me these theories. And so I still went late and I still fell asleep in class. But he would slam on my desk and be like, Nikki, what is this? And I'd wake up and be like, it's Italian six chord. And I'd go and I'd have the right answer because I would know exactly what he would call me out on. Like, I would already, like, look at it and be like, I've already analyzed this. So she actually prepped me to get ahead of the class just to sit in class and waste my time so that if he ever did try to grill me or quiz me, I was ready. And I passed his class. And at the end of the class, he was like, you know, I was hard on you because you have a lot of potential to do something in music, but you are always late. And I was like, well, you have a point, but you don't have to be an ass.
I seem to be more on his side on this situation
side.
You seem to fall asleep and be late to his class.
Yeah, but it was like...
And he thought you had potential.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he was never that hard on
anybody. You're trying to paint him as the bad guy. I don't see him as the bad guy.
No, listen. I would come late. Look, here's a perfect example. I would come late. And I'd sometimes have a justified reason. Sometimes. But then 5 minutes later, and he would yell at me in class. Mm. 5 minutes later, somebody else would come in class, and they'd be late, and they wouldn't have a reason. And he'd be like...
Because he probably thought that guy was like a turd that had no chance to be doing anything in music. So he's like, whatever. But you should be here because you're super talented. You should be here.
That's not a way to treat somebody like
that. You're the bad guy in this.
Monkeying around.
You're the bad
guy. Tomfoolery, all that tomfoolery.
You're the bad guy in this.
But you know what? Honestly, like, I'm so glad that that's all over. because it was not, it was brutal. Like, honestly, to take something you love. Well, you went to film school. Yeah. I was going to film school. Like, you love
like
movies.
I mean,
love movies.
There's stuff. Sometimes
kill.
You had to watch some movies. Like at one time we had to watch Battleship Potemkin, which is like, okay, it's like the first movie where they actually used editing as a tool for storytelling.
Hmm.
And so boring.
Really?
But it's
still
back
movie.
In 1918 or whatever, 1906, whenever it was made, it was cutting edge. Like, oh my God, what are they doing here? But now it's the same thing with Citizen Kane.
I've heard that's a great movie.
For the time, for what it did for filmmaking, but if you go back and watch it now, you'd be like, meh.
Oh, really?
Because that's what it is. But at the time, cutting edge, and did so much for the way film is made and interpreted and watched today.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily hold up to the point, like, you watch it now, you're like, that's the greatest movie I've ever seen. That's not what they mean by how great Citizen Kane was. It's the impact it had on filmmaking as a genre, as a whole.
But they would, like, that would probably, they'd spend, like, 2 weeks on something like that, maybe.
What, Citizen Kane?
Yeah.
No, Citizen Kane was a full-blown...
Like, you had a whole 6 months of Citizen Kane?
No, it was, it was a few weeks. 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks. Try 6 months.
Well, then, yeah, but we had things where we did genres. Like, I took a Western film.
Oh, that must have been boring.
No, dude.
Really? It was awesome?
Watching Westerns?
And
then breaking down, analyzing Westerns and, like, how they evolved from, like, where they was just, like, the cowboy dressed in white against the cowboy dressed in black in the silent days to going all the way up to, like, Pale Rider and the anti-hero and the way the Western evolved as sort of a commentary on the way society was going at the time they were made in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Super interesting.
What about, like, how color, like, made such a difference in film?
It made a little. I mean, I don't think it.
What?
Did.
Come on, that's pretty huge, dude. Everybody's watching movies in black and white for like decades.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, we have color.
Sound was a bigger impact than color.
Really?
Being able to talk as opposed to silent films?
Well, Charlie Chaplin made them pretty entertaining.
Yeah, but I'm just. Once you could actually have dialogue and a script, I mean, as opposed to just color, because they still make movies black and white, they don't make silent movies anymore.
Actually, a friend of mine made a silent movie.
I know, but I'm saying, in general, they don't make.
No,
but
you know what?
I would
right.
say sound was a bigger impact than color.
Wait, what was that movie that just won the Oscar that was a silent movie?
Okay, one movie came out, and it's only because it's like, oh, look what we did. We made a silent movie.
Well.
I don't think it's going to spawn a bunch of silent movies.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably not going to spawn a bunch of silent movies.
I'm just saying, sound was bigger than color.
What are you trying to say?
I'm sound is bigger
fucking
than color.
Racist is what you want.
Sound is bigger than color.
I'm just kidding. Anyways, it looks like our special guest has arrived, Mr. Jacob Patrick. How are you, man?
Hello, hello.
Our studio audience loves you.
Thank you.
What do you think about that little debate we had?
What was the debate about? Nikhil's professor was the good guy.
No,
that was the debate.
No.
You're
going to
put me in the middle of all these.
You know what? I hate to say it, but that guy died. I was like, dude. Man, maybe the universe wasn't on his side. No, but he was actually a pretty great composer.
It's because he was stressed out about that one student
he's like,
he had.
This guy's a dick. Jacob.
Yes.
You are a very, very talented animator and creative director for all kinds of things.
Thank you.
He's modest. Look at this, Eddie. We get to kind of grill him about his life.
Okay.
Are you excited?
What do you want to grill him about?
I don't know. You want to ask the first
question? No, I didn't. You go for it.
No, you know what?
I don't have anything to know about. I like your shirt.
Thank you.
He's wearing a Back to the Future shirt.
Says I was there.
October 21st, 2015. It's weird that we lived during that time. It was a good time. Anyways, Jacob, how did you get into wanting to do animation and the creative visual arts?
Well, in high school, I was always fascinated with computers, and I loved to draw. So once I saw a trailer for the movie Toy Story, it's just like, it clicked.
That was it.
It's like, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
And there's
that
even,
was it? Toy Story is what did it?
Yeah. Because when I was younger, I did see like the different like Listerine commercials, and I would go to sleep like singing that song. It's like in my head picturing them. Like,
what was it about Toy Story that made you?
It was just the realization of, it's the first 3D animated movie. So
okay.
It just clicked to me that that is something that you could do and that exists as a thing.
That was a pretty, like, monumental anime.
I'm just saying, but as a kid, though, you'd see tons of animated films up to the Toy Story. I mean, like, Toy Story wasn't, like, the first time you saw an animated film. It was right. One of what clicked in Toy Story made you go that instead of saying...
Well, let's ask him that.
Something a few years before when...
What was it about that
clicked? Lion King. You saw Lion King before Toy Story. Why wouldn't you go...
Yeah, Lion King's amazing.
Why wasn't Lion King the one that made you do that? Just the time in your life?
Time in the life, as well as, I think, the fascination with computers.
Oh, because it was 3D animated, computer animated.
Yeah, and I can draw, and I draw better than, I guess, the average person. But as far as animators go, I probably couldn't make it as a 2D animator.
Why is that? Because they just, what do they have that you don't have, or you're saying?
Yeah, the draftsmanship is just better.
Hmm. So when you animate on computers.
Yes.
So what is the, because I draw, and I dabbled in animation when I was younger, I was a 2D guy, but I've never truly animated in 3D, like what are in computers. So what's like the big thing? What's the big difference? Are you actually putting pen to tablet and drawing? Or are you drawing with shapes and stuff in a program? Like how do you draw in a computer?
You can draw on the computer and do some animation that way. Like you can do digital 2D animation on the computer. Uh-huh. That's how most of it's done now. Or Flash on the computer. But what I do... There's kind of different debates about this. Some people say you do need to know how to draw. I say you don't need to know how to draw to do computer animation. It's kind of more like having a marionette and doing puppeteer work, because someone else like builds the character, puts it on the computer, someone else puts the skeleton inside them, and then I go and I grab that arm and I move it. Kind of like
so you're just animating an already established, like someone has a character in there and you're taking it and you're animating it.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm doing. So you're not conceptualizing the character.
Correct.
You're animating. Okay. Yeah. I see what you're doing.
It's kind of like stop motion, but the computer will do some in-between stuff for you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But in some cases, he does come up with characters.
Yes, I have done character design.
He's done character design.
I was just curious because
crazy, too. He showed me some stuff on his computer where, like, the computer settings are, it's like a remote control, right? For these 3D things, you show me some models where, like, you'll do commands on your computer, and it'll do like little motion. It'll animate, and that's crazy. It's like, dude, that's awesome. It's like using your keyboard as a remote control for 3D animation.
And things have gotten so much easier than Pixar days, though. Like, if you see the way they had to animate,
how did they animate like Toy Story like those days? Like, how? I mean, because that was 20 some years ago now.
Yeah, some of it. Like, they had to enter in the number, the value of how much they want to rotate the arm.
Oh my God.
They enter in the number and they watch it rotate. They couldn't just, now we can just grab it and rotate it.
Yeah, you can just click and drag it around, right? Like how you want it to
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Wow. And for us, we have these things called IK for the feet to make the feet stay on the ground. So we have the feet on the ground, we can move the hip up and down and the feet stay there. Not them, they had to counter animate. So they put the hip down, they had to move the feet back up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it makes you respect what they did so much more.
And it didn't win an Oscar, and it should have. It's definitely one of them. No, 3-1. I don't think one won.
Well, they didn't.
One won for Best Animated, but not for Best Picture. But it really should have won for Best Picture, too. Because that was.
Yeah, but they don't want to give it to a. They don't want to give the Best Picture to Animated.
Did Beauty and the Beast get Best Picture?
No.
I feel like something did.
What animated?
Oh, actually, yeah, maybe.
Animated film got Best Picture?
I think Lion King got Best Picture.
I don't think animated film's ever gotten Best Picture.
Yeah. We'll have to look that up. Yeah. Well, anyways, so you got into 3D animation.
Yes.
And then what was like one of the things, what was one of your first assignments that you were like, did you go to school for this?
I did.
Where did you go to school for that?
I went to the Academy of Art in San Francisco.
That's a very prestigious school.
It is very well known. But, of course, I had some of the same experiences you guys did with school where they're requiring certain classes that you know you're not going to need.
All right, you got to chime in. What's your class?
The weed out class.
Well, some of them, like, I went and I talked to them, and I'm like, I know we don't need this. And they're like, no, it's required and stuff. And I see that they're changing the curriculum, like, every couple of semesters. So I got them. I talked to whoever I need to, and I didn't take it.
Dude, Jacob is Jedi, man. He's like, see that class? I'm not going to take this class ever. Yeah, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. That's amazing. So you went to the Academy of Art.
Yep.
That must have been an intimidating day one. You know, like everybody is a visual artist, essentially. So you show up in class. How many people were in your like freshman class?
Like an individual classroom, or you mean the whole school?
The whole school.
I have no clue. Definitely over 1,000.
Yeah, I was going to say at least 1,000.
Yeah. It's a big school. Like, the Academy of Art is the, what I hear, the largest property owner in San Francisco.
Wow.
Because they have campuses all over the city that you go to.
Beauty and the Beast was the first animated film ever nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, but no animated? Lion King?
No.
Oh.
And Toy Story 3 also received Best Picture, but that was it.
Oh, I know that was a nomination.
They didn't win.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
They're not going to give it. Hollywood's not going to give it to an animated film. They're not going to do it.
They should.
They're going to give it to a comedy either. It's not going to happen.
So dumb.
Someday, eventually.
Someday.
All right, so you walk into class, you walk into the school, and now you have all the tools at your disposal. That must... No?
Nope. They made us... And there's different debates on this, too, whether it's good or bad, but for 2 years, it's a four-year school, and for the first 2 years, they make you do traditional art. So painting, charcoal drawing, clay modeling. And because they give you a bachelor's degree, you also have to take, you know, math and English and all those other things. So I think they're really doing it for money, though. They don't want people to get too good, too quick, to be able to get a job and leave the school without paying them the rest of the money. Whatever.
Institutions, so. Right, Eddie? You got that look like, mother...
Well, you got to take some classes.
Yeah.
You got to be a well-rounded human being. A little bit.
Well, how... I mean,
you have to know some history, geology.
The clay, sculpting. I mean,
well, that gives you appreciation for art and also animation, because I think having a foundation in, like, clay sculpting gives you an idea how things look in the 3D world. And so if you're animating, like, for shadowing and shading, I mean, stuff like that, I could see where that would be applicable to creating.
Definitely having a mind that can conceptualize in 3D space helps a lot.
So. Did you have to do, like, a flip book or anything like that? I love those, by the way. I'm obsessed with them.
A stick figure flip book?
Yeah,
dude,
I love
I'm obsessed
that too.
With flip books. I collect them. I've got four of them.
That's not a collection.
Small collection.
That's four of them.
No, that's four.
If you said 400, I'd like, that's a collection.
Well, that's a
40 is a collection. Four is not a collection.
I have some.
Okay, that's not a collection. I don't say I collect flip books when you have four of them. I collect toenail clippings.
That's enough, Eddie. We're going to just flush that down the toilet. Pretend like it didn't exist.
So long
toilet.
Such a long
Anyways,
toilet.
Okay, so you took all these classes, the first 2 years, only visual arts. Then they give you the tools?
Then we are allowed to touch a computer for 3D animation, yeah.
God, that's a little crazy. Now, did it help going through that, those first 2 years, to get to that third year and you get to use the computers?
It doesn't feel like it did. I mean, I'm sure there's things I probably learned and subconsciously took in, but it doesn't. You don't recognize what those items are and stuff.
And did you have to do, like, student projects?
Not
finals or anything like that? Like,
yeah, we had to do different assignments. They would give us, like, model ahead, you know, rig this character, do this animation, and then get graded on that.
That must have been awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Did you see a lot of variance in student to student and how they...
Oh, for sure.
Like, what was the biggest variant or difference between one character to the next if you had the same assignment?
You just see some people are more talented than the others or put in more time or more experience. Like, they say only, like, 2% of them actually get jobs. I mean, the school says we have 85% placement or something
like
that.
Well, yeah, they want you to go there.
But a lot of that is, like, becoming a graphic artist at Kinko's. And they might have already done that before they went there or something like that, just if they get any job afterwards. But I saw so many people waste their $80,000 tuition on playing World of Warcraft.
Really?
Yeah, because some people are more fans than actually makers. So they actually love watching movies, love animated things, love video games, but they don't put in the time it takes to actually do the work to become the person to make them.
So you saw that was the way it weeded people out.
Yeah.
Huh. See that, Eddie? Every process has a weeding out period.
Mm-hmm. All right, good talk.
I don't know what that's in reference to.
I don't know me either. I have no idea what he's talking about.
You graduate.
I got a job before I graduated, and my dad's like, no, you have to graduate. You have to graduate. I'm like, Dad, it doesn't matter. Like, for my industry, it doesn't matter if you go to college or school or not.
Right.
Like,
his generation, it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could teach yourself at home on YouTube, and as long as you can show you can do it, you can get a job in the industry.
Yeah.
But I did keep going. And then I did graduate. And then years later, he's like, see, aren't you glad you went? I'm all, it didn't make a difference.
Yeah, I had the same debate with
it. It did make a little difference for me where I have gone and taught at different schools. And there they want you to have a master's.
Yeah.
But they allowed me to have a bachelor's with work experience.
So. Okay. Yeah, I always feel like, you know, sometimes if I had just dropped out, I'd have an earlier start on my career. You know, like I would have just been, but you know what? That would have been a really hard sell for just living and just going through life. But anyways, I'm glad you graduated.
Yes.
So you graduate, and then what was the first gig that you got doing creative arts?
Working for Sony Games, creating a Jet Li video game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was fun.
What was the Jet Li video game?
Rise to Honor.
What platform was it on?
PS2.
PS2?
Did you play it?
I never played that.
Dude, we have to...
Was it a good game?
It was all right. I think got 7 out of 10.
That's not good. That's not bad.
What, they rate them? Who rates them?
Everything gets rated.
Yeah, kind of like movies.
Okay.
Like, rated,
yeah. What was the... what'd you do on that game?
The animation. Like,
how many animators were on the game? How many animators are typically on, like, a video game?
It depends on how big the studio is. That Sony's a pretty big studio. They spent, like, $20 million on that game. We were working on it for, like, 3 years, 4 years,
damn,
something like that. And so I think we probably had about 6 animators and stuff.
6 animators for,
yeah,
3 years?
Mm-hmm. And
was there a lot of fighting in the game?
Yeah.
Because Jet Li, did you have to study, like, martial arts in order to animate that way? Like, what did you have to do to prepare to animate someone?
It definitely helps if you know it. Like, I took it when I was younger a little, so that you could feel that that helped a lot.
Right.
Compared to some other animators that hadn't. But yeah, you watch different, of course, Jet Li movies, Bruce, yeah, Lee movies, all the martial arts movies. And
they weren't, didn't you, like, mocap then?
They did do some motion capture on that one. So,
is that with the little things on your face?
Little, yeah, things.
I even, for that game, I got to be in the mocap suit and did some of the cinematics as well.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Stuff.
So some of your ninja moves are in the game?
This is more acting than the ninja moves,
okay,
on that one. For the ninja moves, they did Jet Li and his stuntman.
He was just like a fruit cart salesman that got kicked,
yeah,
in the face.
Basically.
To put it bluntly.
Just standing on the street corner and got, your innocent bystander, got kicked in the face.
Aren't we all at some point in life, right, Eddie?
Every day.
All right, so you do the Jet Li movie. That must have been pretty intense. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, how labor-intensive doing something like that is.
Yeah.
Just give an idea for, let's say, was the game, I mean, it had levels, I'm sure, scenes? Like, how did,
yeah,
you,
like,
break
10
it down?
Levels, I think.
So how long did it take a level to be finished?
Well, it took them probably 2 to 3 years to do the first level.
Oh, my God.
And then they had to do every single level, like, in the next 10 months or whatever.
So did they just base everything off the first level to make it go quicker?
They're kind of trying to build game mechanics. And for this game, they actually built the programming, the game engine, from scratch.
Wow.
So they programmed all of that stuff. So it took time for all of that and figure out the mechanics and plan the levels and stuff. And then I think it was kind of a mixture of also bad planning.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
well, is the first level, like, way more intense than the
It's just
9 levels?
It's just, it's harder to get ramped up and get to that point. But once you're to that point, then you can move a little quicker.
And so I've heard, like, budgets are, like, for animated projects, it's all about the timeline. So why wouldn't Sony just invest in more animators? Is it too many cooks in the kitchen? What's the biggest obstacle?
Usually a studio, when it comes down to the deadline, whether it's games or film or whatever, they will hire people at the end of it. But for the beginning, it wouldn't have made a difference. But yeah, for that last 6 months, we're working probably about 7 days straight, 14, 16-hour days.
Ugh.
Damn.
Brutal.
I fell asleep in my car, totaled it.
Wow.
Ugh.
But all for the sake of the arts.
What are you working on now?
At the moment, I'm working on commercials. Working on 3 different ones during the day at the moment. One is top secret.
Ooh.
We can't say. And the other one, we're not really supposed to talk about anything until it's released, no matter what we're working on. But some people are going to like quite a bit.
And you've worked on, like, some past TV shows, mm-hmm, and films. Just, like, kind of ramble off a list of some of the ones that...
For TV, The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow.
What'd you do on The Flash?
He flashed.
The
Everyone's
Flash.
Just flashing people.
Flash.
Just,
yeah,
kidding.
Penises.
Yeah, animated The Flash.
You animated him
running fast.
Running.
Like, we have to blend him into the live-action person, so whether he starts to run,
right,
we match that person, then we take off from there. Or if he crashes into something, we do the crash and blends into the person. Or I animated some of the gorilla. There's a Grodd in there,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
he fights.
Is that... once you do it, is it sort of there, like his running Flash stuff, or is there, they have to build that every... episode.
We do have a running cycle that you reuse.
Yeah.
But you have, then you...
You got to match it up to him.
Well, no, no, you have the same running cycle that you use, but then you have to track his position, whether he runs through the city, runs up the wall. So that you have to redo every time.
Gotcha.
And then, yeah, match to his position of where he blended in.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So and you, did you say you fought a gorilla?
Gorilla Grodd.
I don't remember a Gorilla Grodd.
You don't remember Gorilla Grodd?
No. Tell me about Gorilla Grodd.
You never... Legion of Doom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I can't help you. It's a gorilla.
Longer commercial.
Well, a lot of comic book nerds.
Just kidding. Gorilla Grodd.
Telekinesis. It's what? Telepathic.
Telepathic.
Yeah.
They love The Flash.
I was a fan of the show before I worked on it, and I'm not working on it anymore, and I'm still a fan of the show.
That's awesome. That must be a great feeling.
Yeah,
like, to work on something that you actually love.
Mm-hmm.
What's the crux of working on something that you don't always love? But it's still animation. Is it still just as fun, or are you just like, oh man, this is not what I love?
It's good and bad, because then it's just a job. So then I'll leave that, and I'll still have the creative juices that I want to release on other things. Where if it's something I totally love, then you put in tons of extra time working on that, and then you don't work on your own stuff on the side. But yeah, so it turns into just a job, and you're more likely to leave it sooner, or not put up with crazy hours or other situations.
Now, as a musician, when I hear something, even if I've done something,
mm-hmm.
like I hear the mistakes. As an animator, do you see? Is it like way more blatantly obvious to you than even other animators, or is it something that like other animators can see and say, oh, you didn't use you should have used the M5 mechanical arm instead of, you know.
It's definitely obvious, like, and a lot of animators will see it. They'll get like, ooh, like, oh, there was a hitch there. Like, even when I just started out watching the movie Shrek, like, those animators had to animate all the background characters, and I'm like, why didn't they just hire a student or someone else to give more time to them so you see them all just like, it's like cheap animation.
Oh, really?
Or there was this movie, Hoodwinked, and it has a good story, it's fun, it's entertaining, but as far as animation goes for an animator, like, the quality is horrible. Mm-hmm. So I had a friend of the family like go, oh, we saw this movie and we thought of you, and I'm like, no, don't think of me.
That's crazy. All right, so after your Jet Li video game, did you want to leave the world of video games, or did you?
I got in because I wanted to do acting and storytelling. Like, they wanted to have me become, like, the cinematic lead, but I left a full-time job with one son and a pregnant wife, and for a 10-week contract, making 40% of the money in Texas.
Wow.
To go work on Jimmy Neutron. So it was
you were like, I got to do this.
Yeah, I want to do acting. And so it was great of her to be willing to go, but it worked out. Like, Sony is a great company. It's a big company. We had insurance through there.
Yeah.
401k matching.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, hard decision. But went to the other place, and a few weeks later, they laid everybody off.
Who, Sony?
Yeah.
So you would have been screwed anyway.
Yep. So it worked out for that reason, as well as, like, it did give me the things I needed on my demo reel to get more of the type of jobs that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
It worked out.
So working on Jimmy Neutron, that must have been exciting.
Yeah. That's why I had to go, because I'm like, because Jimmy Neutron already had finished, and these were like Jimmy Timmy specials. So it's like, this is going to be the last time anyone gets to work on Jimmy Neutron. This is like my only chance.
And were you a fan of Jimmy Neutron before?
Yes.
That's awesome. Like, I don't even know how you would, like, if I watch... I guess music and filmmaking is kind of the same, but it's kind of not. Like, if you watch an animated, you know, Disney film, are you like, I want to work with that team? Are you want to work with, you know, is it the storytelling? Is it the look? Is it the, what is it that draws you to?
Yeah, there's definitely some directors and storytellers I would want to work with them and stuff. Like, when I was in school, I went to the Spike and Mike's animated festival thing, and John Lasseter
awesome.
Was there. And I went up to Mama, look forward to working with you in the future.
That's awesome. But,
so,
Eddie, see this? If you just, like, didn't stop doodling.
Doodling? What are you talking about?
You could be an animated.
I don't want to be an animator.
God.
I don't want to be an animator.
Well,
that's the other thing I should mention. Like, almost everybody says, oh, your job should seem so much fun. It seems so much fun. And I enjoy it. But they sit behind me for 2 minutes and see what it actually is. And they go, That's so tedious. I can never do that.
Oh, yeah. I can't even. Just that's animating on paper, like just a stick figure flip book that you collect. Your huge collection.
I mean, my huge collection.
I mean, those take forever. Just do a stick figure, just to have a stick figure walk across the frame. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what a computer animated, like, it would just be
in school we had to do 2D animation, and I did one that was like 500 drawings, and I stayed up for 3 days straight. On the last night, I had my friend come over and like, here, let's work through the night. And I was drawing and all night, and then in the morning, I'm falling asleep, and my pen's going, I'm okay, I guess I have to go to sleep now.
Wow.
Whatever.
Just crazy.
And that, that's how all animators like pretty much work. Because you have to do, there's no like, okay, for music, I can sit and go, oh yeah, in 2 hours, I can write something and record something. Like, what's the like trajectory of when you take on a new project? Like, how do you budget your time?
It depends, of course, on quality and budget and all that stuff. On average, they say the animators at like Pixar, DreamWorks, do about four, it ends up being about 4 seconds a week of animation.
4 seconds a week?
Yeah, so think how long it has to take to do a 90-minute movie.
That's crazy.
But on Jimmy Neutron.
And if that's 4 seconds completely done.
I believe, yeah.
That is nuts.
On Jimmy Neutron, just the animation, we had to do 15 seconds a week. And that's considered really fast.
Yeah.
Now, there's some TV shows, like I think Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, that go, oh, that looks horrible.
Yeah.
Like, the animation's horrible. And then I talked to somebody in India or somewhere that was animating on it. They had to do 25 seconds a night, like a day.
What?
And I'm like, okay, it's really good. Wow. For that amount of time, no, I don't care how good of an animator you are, you can't do better than that.
Now, why is that the, like, why is that such an absurd
budget? Like, it's cheaper for them to do that, and kids don't care.
Yeah.
If it's Mickey and it's on there, they can still watch it.
So now let me ask you this, too, because a lot of people, including myself, they don't know how much time goes into an animated project. Can you just run through, let's say you have a bird flying in a scene, okay, with some butterflies, I don't know. Tell me what your first, what's the first thing, how do you start this?
First you need a modeler, someone to build the bird. And a bird with all the wings and different things. A bird's actually really complicated.
Okay.
Because they have to build the bird, and then they're going to have to figure out a feather system, depending on how close or far the bird is from the camera. Yeah. If it's far away, then you won't need that. Then you can just have the shape.
That movie Rio must have been a humongous pain in the ass.
Yeah. And then Tangled with all her hair and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, you do remember the hair from Toy Story? It's all just like,
yeah,
you know, hair, yeah, club for men type thing. Dolls.
So like the bear in Toy Story, to get all those little furry, the third one.
Yeah.
To get all those little ripples in the fur, you know, like.
Or look at Jungle Book. That was one of the shots I was most amazed by. Like the shot where Mowgli's hand goes on the wolf's face and like it rubs against the hair, the fur. I'm just like, whoa.
That's like, intense.
They can work on that for probably years, right, so you, figuring out the fur system.
You got a modeler. They figure out the bird. They, mm-hmm, figure out the fur and the wings.
The wings, yeah.
And then
feathers. Someone has to rig it, so they have to put the skeleton in it. And depending on the shot, if it's a moving shot, if it's a live-action shot, someone has to track that so we get the same camera in CG. And then we take the bird and we do like a flight cycle on it, and then we'll move it through the scene. So on that situation, animation might be one of the quickest. And then after that, someone has to light it, simulate lighting in there, and then
what about the background, like the environments? Like how involved do you have to create the environments for them to kind of animate in?
If it's fully CG, then people have to build all of that and put textures on all of that.
How long does that take?
That's usually a separate crew, right? That's not the bird animator. That's other animators doing background, and then you, yep, marry them together. Right?
Well, yeah, all of this is different teams. So, like, not different teams, but different people with different roles and stuff. Hopefully you can maybe even buy some. Are you thinking realistic looking? Or are you,
no,
thinking
I'm thinking the average Joe, mm-hmm, or Joanne doesn't have any idea,
no,
how involved this process is. And, you know, when you watch the Oscars and when you watch a making of, it's a 30-second how-to that you don't fully grasp. And that's why I'm asking, because I know people are listening going, how the hell, where do you start? Like, what is involved with this process?
Yeah. Like, a guy called me the other day, and he was like, yeah, my friend gave me your information. I have this project. We're looking for animators. And it's going to be this, this, this. It's going to be about 2 minutes long. You know, people can really take their time. I'm not in a rush, you know, for the budget to stay down. And I'm like, okay, what type of time frame are you thinking? He said, oh, about 2 weeks. And like, that's something that
for
would...
For 2 minutes?
I think so, yeah. And I'm like, that's something that would take, you know, months of time.
Yeah.
Huge team of people.
Yeah.
Like thousands and thousands of dollars and stuff. Yeah.
So he probably was like, maybe I should put this on the shelf.
Yeah. So it's good he called me to at least get right. a little bit of a reality check before.
Well, so how long does an environment take if you're building it from scratch?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask since I don't build environments from scratch.
Okay, so what's the hardest part of animating? Like, let's say you have this bird. Would you say it's the feathers, the small details, or would you say it's the big details to make it look realistic?
For a bird, I would say probably the feather system. That's probably the hardest for them to create and get that looking right.
If you were to animate Nikhil, what would be the most difficult part to animate of Nikhil?
The belly. The fur on the belly.
Her little jiggle system.
Well, let's play a little bit of your reel. I hear you're going to narrate some of this.
Should I look at it?
If you want to, come on over.
Yeah, come on over and narrate it.
I'm going to
also listen. I'm going to watch it, too. We're going to play Jacob Patrick's animated reel.
This is the director. So I've been doing animation, but now I'm transitioning to writing and directing. So the beginning's just a montage of different projects I've worked on. There's a drone shot.
Ooh, a drone shot through a canyon. Star Wars.
Star Wars fan film.
Are those your bed sheets?
Are they stained?
Only here to help.
Those are actually my boys.
Running through.
This is one of the short films actually in post-production right now. I have two in post-production. Because that one requires a wolf. And
oh, you have to animate a wolf in there?
Boys!
That was one of the considerations.
Come here!
Nathan!
We looked into
if he has a wolf suit, you could have him wear. I'll do the one. Some ears.
Nathan!
Put some whiskers on him.
Hey, baby. Everything's good.
This looks like a scary
Nothing
movie.
Nothing to worry about, okay?
That means there's everything to worry about. Is that a zombie?
Yes, it is.
Did you direct that? Is that what
I
movie?
Did.
What's movie? What movie is that?
It's just a short film. Short clip. It's for one, like, people were shooting things from all around the world as found footage, and some person was taking it and putting it all
okay.
to one film. This is a short film we did for a SIGGRAPH event. Me and two other animators animated a minute of animation in 32 hours, and we got first place for that.
Oh, wow. A minute in 32 hours.
But the rig was already made, the model was already made. So. But yeah, that's really fast.
You enjoy directing live action?
I do. I prefer writing over directing, but when you have a clear vision of what you want to do and what you see,
yeah.
I'm definitely learning every single project.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this one, I had it all storyboarded out, so it went really fast, really smooth. Now, there's certain things, like this one was also for a time constraint, so there's certain things I wanted to do to it, but I couldn't. Another Star Wars.
Ooh, put yourself in there.
Nice. I didn't want to be in there. This is a time constraint, and we had cast this comedian to be the actress in this, but then she was doing a stand-up show, and Amy Poehler came by, and she called up, so I'm going to stay and hang out here.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we understand. This is one of my favorites that we did. As far as
are you trying to use the force?
Yes. That one had a great team. The editor really made that film.
Awesome! Awesome!
And as a director, I realized like how important it is to have a good first AD.
Man, it's good stuff, man. Hey, did you play the applause reel?
No.
Jeez, why not?
Because it sucked.
Wait. Oh! Oh! The studio audience loved it!
Enough.
And cut.
God damn it!
So, what's the kind of like the biggest obstacle when you do like live action versus animated? Like a combined. Like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's what I'm doing it like that.
Like a combined.
Okay. There's a lot of things. A lot of people that do the live action, they don't give time of what is needed to do the animated side of it. Like, you have to put in markers. Some is eyeline, making sure that they're looking at the right spot. So they have to, someone has to have it in their head first, already be able to visualize the animated character to be able to know where they're going to be looking, how they're going to be moving, so the other person can react to them. A lot of it is tracking the camera. You have to track all the cameras first to make sure it all matches, at least for 3D. For 2D, like Roger Rabbit's different. They're just hand drawing it and lining it up.
But that's got to be crazy to do that, right?
Yeah.
How long did that movie take to get made?
Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Years, didn't it? It was a few years, a couple of years.
Must have been. Like, every movie takes probably about 4 years in total. Like, the writing, the planning, and then actually doing it, then the post-production.
So. You know that little short that he did with the guy holding the red truck?
Yeah.
You got to watch that all the way through. It's pretty... pulls on the heartstrings. Yeah. It does. It really does. When I remember watching your reel, and I saw that, and I was like, dude, this is crazy.
Well, how do you
like,
find your reel? Go to YouTube.com, just...
Yeah.
And then search Jacob Patrick?
You can try that. It's... The actual
a YouTube page.
Tag is JP Animator.
JP. Just go YouTube.com/JP Animator?
I think so, yeah.
I do it?
JPANIM, the number 8.
And the tricky. So yeah, go check it out on YouTube. Check out his
The
reel.
Red Truck. If you do the Red Truck short film. Yeah.
And how can people find you if they want to animate stuff?
I have a Facebook page that you can search Jacob Patrick or Facebook/Jacob Patrick.
And spell it out because people are dumb, let's be honest.
JACOBPATRICK. Also on Twitter or Instagram.
All the same?
Instagram's not. It's some weird screenwriter thing, like SCRNWTR or something like that.
So you just try to get nobody to follow you on Instagram?
that's my goal.
Was that your goal?
Yeah, people are like, you have to be
that
there.
That was what I'm you're attempting to do? Makes sense.
Let me ask you this, too. Like being a layman in the animated world for me, what are some of your favorite all-time animated movies?
Like you mentioned, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Iron Giant, Toy Story, The Incredibles, Jungle Book. So
I'm surprised you didn't mention for TV shows DuckTales, because that, man, I mean, really, is there a better show in the 90s than DuckTales?
I love DuckTales, but then I got older and I like Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck was great. Same people, right?
Yeah. Eddie, I didn't watch either one.
You didn't watch DuckTales or Darkwing Duck?
How
did you live with yourself?
That's why you're not an animator.
No. I just was not into them.
Well, if you're doing... I thought you said movies.
Animaniacs. I was into Animaniacs.
Yes, I love Animaniacs.
Animaniacs is great.
Roadrunner was one of my favorite.
What about Bugs Bunny? Mm-hmm. All the old Disney films like Fantasia.
I'm not a huge fan of Fantasia. But I mean, I love the Mickey scene, of course. And there's a lot of amazing stuff in it. But just, I guess for me, I like a clearer story.
And how do you really see like animators like develop styles? Like, what's a signature style of somebody? Like, how could somebody tell the difference between, you probably can't tell the difference, you know, Walt Disney and, you know, maybe the guy that did the Expendables. Or not the Expendables, the...
Incredibles with Pixar.
Yes.
Well, as far as certain styles go, like, Pixar's are a little more realistic to real life, where if you go to Blue Sky, it's a little snappier, a little more Looney Tune type animation.
And I'm surprised you didn't say anything anime. So that's huge for animators.
It is really huge. I just wasn't as exposed to it as most people. As far as the Miyazaki movies, like Princess Mononoke is my favorite, but...
And when are the release dates for some of these upcoming projects that you're working on, too?
Well, I'm doing commercials, so probably 2 weeks for some, a month for another.
2 weeks from the beginning to the end?
No. We're just near the end. Like, if sometimes I did previs for a lot of films, and that's where we kind of create the film ahead of time on the computer to figure out if what they have written works. And sometimes I finish that, and I don't get to see my stuff for 2 years later. But on commercials, you finish it, it can be on the air the next week or whatever, next day. On TV, too, you finish that, and then it's airing like a week later.
Do you ever watch all your old like Jimmy Neutron stuff? You're like, oh, I'm light years ahead of that now.
I actually haven't. I haven't seen it since.
So when you finish it, you don't have the joy of like experiencing it?
On certain stuff, I do. But I mean, I did watch. I guess I have seen it afterwards, but I haven't seen it for years.
So you wait. You distance yourself from it.
No, you just watch it a lot at first, and then you have no need to watch it again because you're doing other stuff.
Yeah, you just need that narcissistic part of you to be like,
break.
I need to just watch all the things I've worked on. Well, Jacob, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're
about to say something. No, go ahead. Now's the time.
No, I was just saying my dad creates music and piano music, and he plays that, and he does listen to that all the time, all over and over, and really enjoys his own work.
So what you're saying is musicians are more narcissistic than animators.
Oh, yeah.
And what about actors, Eddie?
Some actors?
No? You don't watch stuff?
Well, comedians are really usually beat themselves up.
Yeah,
comedians watch themselves and just self-deprecating. Slap themselves. Well, Jacob, you'll have to come back again. You're a wonderful guest. We look forward to your upcoming commercials. I'm sure there'll be more things ahead.
Actually, being a VFX soup, like on-set supervisor for this new Star Wars fan film being made called The Blood Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So if, I don't know if you guys can provide links or whatever.
Yeah.
But if, right now they're on Indiegogo, and it's the guy who wrote it and is directing it, Dark Hoffman, he was a matte painter that did like painting the background for almost any movie you can think of. He's done so much stuff. He had cancer, and while he was in the hospital, he wrote this story, or he's had it in him forever. And so he's trying to make that right now. Really talented
That's
artist.
That's amazing.
So if someone wants to support that, that'd be awesome.
Dude, what a good guy. Jacob, you're a good dude. Somebody hire Pixar. Hire this guy, because he's talented. He's a talented dude. Jacob, we'd like to have you back.
Thank you.
Not next
Happy
week.
Happy to be back.
A couple months. So
check out Jacob everywhere but Instagram.
Wait, one more thing.
What?
Where can people find you? What's your email? What's your contact?
Find me on one of those other places and contact me through that.
This is one of his personal stuff out there.
Well, all right.
But thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. See that? All right. On behalf of Eddie and I, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.